Fear the Walking Dead, Date of Death is over, but we're just getting started here on Fear the Walking Dead, the post-show recap. And now, here are the two guys with grease all over their faces. I'm Rob Cicerino. Here's Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, Rob, I'm good on that shower. No thanks.
Yes.
I'll pass.
So let me just start off with a little bit of an update. Josh Wigler, as you can tell, he is not here. We had a pact, and unfortunately, he was not doing so well. He was a little under the weather, so, you know, as our pact dictates, we killed him.
I told him that he needed to get that leg better in a week. He had a week. We gave him a whole week, Rob.
Mm-hmm. I asked him on a scale, 1 to 10, how are you feeling? He said a 1, and so that was too high. He had to go, so I'm sorry.
We rubbed dirt on it. We told him to put weight on it. Yes. What else do you want from us?
Yes, and so Josh Wigler is no longer with us. I am happy to report, though, I did not kill my first person on my birthday. That is not till next month.
Yeah, poor baby Josh.
Yes, yes. So there you go. Actually, no, what is it? That if you kill somebody, the first person you kill, it's not on your birthday. They have the same birthday as you. So we don't have the same birthday, Josh Wigler and I.
Right, right. Yeah, it's there's the mysterious coincidence.
Yes.
When you kill somebody, it turns out that they are born on the same day as you, and that should make you reflect.
And the mysterious coincidence that I'm talking to the Alex Kidwell, whose birthday is on celebritybirthdays.com.
Yeah, about that.
That's the website, right?
Famousbirthdays.com.
Famousbirthdays.com.
Yeah. And I don't know why. It's like me and you, and I don't know a lot of people on there, but it's a mishmash. But I was honored to get the email anyway.
Yeah. No, that's a great site. Yeah. By the way, I am the number 43 famous person named Rob. So you were talking to the 43rd most famous Rob in the world.
And you, sir, are talking to the 11th most famous Leo named Alex, after such greats as Alex Rodriguez and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who is a soccer player for Arsenal. But ahead of former Eagles kicker Alex Henry.
Yeah, all right. Well, we could go way off the chart. We do a whole podcast about famous birthdays, but let's not. Let's talk about this. We have to talk about this. Josh Wigler also is not actually dead. He's just traveling on assignment. He will be back with us, hopefully, for the Fear the Walking Dead season finale coming up next week. But boy, Alex, for me, the question that I have tonight is, has Chris become the new most hateable character on television? I was watching a little bit of Fear the Walking Dead. Chris Hardwick had an email that they were laughingly like calling him Joffrey. I certainly could throw out an Ollie. They threw some Shanes around there. But is Chris a character we love to hate? Or is Chris now a character that we just hate?
Right. Yeah, that's the conversation, because with the Joffreys and with the Ramsay Boltons and some of these characters that we've gotten in recent TV memory, there is a bit of a love there, because you know that because of the way people react to when they ultimately, you know, potentially meet their demise. Some of these characters is that, you know, the reaction is so positive, like, yeah, finally. And I don't know that we would necessarily get that. If Chris were to die, it might just be met with indifference or like, oh, finally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel bad because I think the actor that plays him, and he's on Fear the Talking Dead tonight, and I feel like that he's probably getting a lot of like flack for this sort of stuff on the show. And so I'm sure that's a lot to deal with. And again, you know, it could be like a career ender. Like, you become a character like Joffrey. I don't think he acts anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And he was that little kid in Batman Begins. It's so promising, his career.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get to be one of these characters and enough people hate you, and it's like they see you in something else, like, oh, there's a guy I hate from this. And it's not even like, you know, this kind of thing where, like a Michael Emerson, like where he's like, oh, no, he was a bad guy, but he was so good. It's just like you can't stand him. But that being said, the Chris character defies any sort of logic or sensibility. He threw his dad under the bus to hang out with these horrible bros that he barely has known for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You gotta worry about if you're stuck in a role where, even if you're playing it really well, if everyone's just so anti the character, then you may find yourself in the Tom Felton zone.
Felton zone. That's Lorenzo James Henry plays Chris Manawa. So the big moment in the episode comes, of course, when Chris goes in to go see Travis, who's protecting baby James, even though he doesn't really care for him as a person. And I don't know if Travis ever sleeps or whatever, but Chris is like, hey, Dad, let me in. I need to talk to you. And he basically like lays out the case as to why he would not go with these people. He can't trust them. Look at what they do to one of their own. What do you think they'll do to me? Hey, Dad, can I have a hug? And then when he gives the hug, that's when he's like, all right, guys, get in here. Come kill baby James.
Ugh, that's low, you son of a bitch.
Yes, yes.
That's real low.
Yes.
Yeah, Dad's always going to go in for the hug, man. Come on. That's that's not cool.
Yeah. I was on the subreddit for Fear the Walking Dead, like watching like the episode commentary. And like as the comments poured in, it was just universally, you know, 30 comments in a row of, I hate Chris. Chris is the worst person. I've never rooted for somebody to die on a show as much as I hate Chris. Chris is the new Kylo Ren. It was just one thing after the next like that. I can't see anybody watching this and saying like, yes. Oh, wow. What a moment.
Oh, I really like the Kylo Ren comparison. I like that a lot.
I mean, he is Kylo Ren.
He totally is Kylo Ren. Yeah, you know, his dad's, he's done nothing wrong. He's,
and
all he's done
Kylo
is try.
Ren, emo Kylo Ren.
Yeah, and Kylo Ren was already pretty emo. So
yes.
Yeah, Chris has ratcheted it up to 12 for sure.
Yes, like that was a whole thing back when The Force Awakens came out about the emo Kylo Ren. And like, I mean, that is exactly, I mean, he makes Nick seem like, you know what, I can kind of see his point, Nick. You know, I feel like I know where he's coming from. Like, he's a little misunderstood, and he's like gonna go out into the world and find something. At least like he's with the Colonia. Like, at least there's a woman involved with Nick, like running away from home and not wanting to be going to go find Maddie. Why? The douche bros are horrible.
Yeah, Nick is starting to look like a pretty well-adjusted young
man.
Yeah,
yeah. Nick is like the Rick Grimes of Fear the Walking Dead compared to Chris.
He's just got it all together.
He's got
it figured out.
Yeah. I mean,
and yeah, these guys that create, right, yeah, like you're going to sign yourself over to these guys. It's not like they're, you know, I understand like maybe you respect them because they seem strong or whatever, but they don't seem strong. They seem like little babies. Like baby James seemed like
is literally
the toughest
named
dude of
baby
the
James.
And he was the toughest dude of the bunch because he was the only one that was able to like look their buddy in the eye and put him down when that was actually like needed to happen.
Yeah.
And these guys, I guess they also don't understand the difference between a bite and a bullet wound.
I don't know. And they have like this crazy death pact where I don't know why this was not a turnoff to Chris. Why Chris is willing to basically like just leave his dad for dead to hang out with these guys that have a pact. Like, hey, if anything happens to anybody, it's not like leave no man behind. It's like, okay, you kill that person. That's our thing. Any of us, you trip, sprained ankle, that's it. Just kill that. No buts. No buts, death pact.
Yeah, nobody wants to walk around as a corpse.
Yeah, ritual suicide. That's our thing, okay?
Yeah, they've got a supply of Kool-Aid in the truck.
No backing out. Cyanide capsules for everybody. Okay, that's what we're going to do. No, it really is so crazy. And the thing that I really can't wrap my head around, this whole downward spiral for Chris, which really began in the beginning of season two. Like, I feel like in season one, Chris was a pretty well-adjusted kid. I mean, am I wrong with that?
Albeit angsty, but yeah, you could certainly say that he wasn't any different from a lot of, you know, tweens these days.
But he was fine. He was fine. He was playing dress up and sure he was. But and then his mom gets killed at the end of season one. And then he's been just on this downward spiral circling the drain all through this season number two. And he has this conversation with Travis about it. And he's like, you know what, Dad? You were right with mom. And you had what it took. And then you lost it. And it's like, that defies any sort of logic. To me, it like I kind of felt like that you could save this if Chris says, you know what kills me, Dad? You know what really burns me up? Because he's angry. You know what really grinds my gears is that for anybody else, mercy, oh, don't kill this person. But for my mom, that's the person that you decide, you know what, now it's time to really be a tough guy, and let me put a bullet in her head before she could even say goodbye to me. You know, if that was Chris's logic on this, I would say, okay, I could see his point there, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying quite the opposite.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that just speaks to the fact that they should get you on that writing team. But beyond that, yeah, you know, Chris is angry.
And he can be angry. But to go off with Brandon and the other one, it's not important. But yeah, the whole Chris thing. Now, and how do we get this back? So we saw those guys show up at the hotel at the end of the episode. The no room at the inn, literally. And
yeah, didn't make it all the way to San Diego, apparently.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Wasn't that easy, was it?
Yeah. No. And Chris is not with them. So where's Chris?
They obviously killed him for food.
They killed Chris? You think Chris is dead?
I think they got halfway to the hotel and realized they were hungry and, you know, they're not good at foraging. Clearly, they just, you know, consume. They're like parasites, these guys. So I don't know. Maybe they had a little crispicue.
Yeah. So what do you think happened? Do you think that Chris kicked them to the curb, or you think that Chris is for real dead?
I don't know if Chris is dead, but I definitely feel like these guys probably turned on him. As opposed to the, you know, Chris is so horribly naive when it comes to these guys. And you'd like to think he wasn't, because he was able to con his dad by using logic that makes perfect sense. Like, if these guys would do this to baby James, what would they do to me? It's like, good question, Chris. Are you asking yourself this for real? Yeah. Because you should be. And yeah, he doesn't seem to really be thinking about the implications of that question, which makes me wonder if maybe Brandon just told him to go in there and say that.
Yeah.
But dude, you should think about like why that's effective. It's effective because it's believable.
And not for anything. I mean, we've seen Travis get into like fist fights and stuff like this. Like, at times, Travis can be kind of a badass, but he really does get pushed around pretty easily by a 16-year-old.
That's true. Yeah, the reluctant badass. But at this, yeah, he's not going to. I mean, he gives every time Chris pushes, he gives. Like, he's trying so hard to meet Chris at a place where they can kind of come to some kind of compromise. And Chris is just completely and utterly unwilling to compromise on anything.
Yeah. So do you think that this story ends at somehow in this 2-hour finale where Chris has been sort of screwed over by the douche bros and now he is back on board with his parents, or at least with Travis, in terms of that, oh, you know, there's no place like home and I needed to have stuck with you guys through thick and thin and now he'll be better?
Here's my theory. I think Brandon and his buddy, I think they're at the gate, but they've also like made contact with the cartel or something, that they're going to be there as like moles, because they're just like the kind of shiesty guys that would do that, right? That would like get caught by someone bigger than them with guns and just be like, yeah, whatever, man, we'll do whatever you want. And then they're like, all right, you go to this hotel because you're expendable and find out what's going on there and come back. And, you know, that could lead to a whole standoff between the hotel and the cartel. And I think, you know, you could see maybe Chris is being held over there. Maybe they sold Chris for food or something. I could definitely see that. They sold Chris to the cartel for Oxy. And I could see like Travis and them getting there and like, you know, making eye contact with Chris, like almost reuniting just before somebody kills him with like a stray bullet or something.
Oh my God. He kills who? Brandon?
Chris. No, I think the Chris reunion with Travis will be like an almost but not quite type of moment. Like, that makes sense. Like the Beth type of thing where it's like, she's coming to your arms. Oh, she didn't make it.
No. Chris, I really feel like that we're going to have Chris be fine. Nobody dies on this show.
Well, maybe it's wishful thinking.
It would be wishful thinking. Like, then I feel like at least that would be something that would have happened in terms of dying. Alex, I'm going to ask you a question, and I need to know the honest-to-God answer to this question. Was there one zombie in this entire hour of Walking Dead tonight?
I believe there was three.
Three.
They were walking on the beach during low tide under the pier as Madison and Alicia are talking there at the end.
So in the deep background,
yes,
there's a couple of – I mean – I have to imagine this was the episode of all of The Walking Dead of all time with the least seconds of screen time for walkers. I mean, usually And I'm not saying that, you know, it's the greatest thing ever, but they usually at least throw in like one sort of scare scene where, you know, they're killing like some random walker on the street. I mean, this had nothing to do with zombies at all.
Yeah, it's certainly up there. I mean, the other one that comes to mind for me, I remember recording a Walking Dead recap with AJ Mass, where pretty much I think the only zombie was the one that was like hanging off the bridge by its like grenade strap or something. It was like an army zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only one you saw, I think. But yeah, aside from that, but even he got more screen time. So
yeah,
it's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, this was no zombies whatsoever. In their place is over at the hotel is a bunch of people that saw the lights go on. And now there are all of these like zombie apocalypse refugees that want to get into the hotel.
Yeah, right. All these illegals without paperwork are showing up here at the gate.
And that's the problem, because now they're all at the gate and they want to be nice. And you just don't know who you would potentially be letting in. Alex, if you were going to think about this, imagine a bowl of Skittles, okay?
All right.
Okay? No. No. So there's all these people, they want to get in. I just say these people, I thought they were being pretty civilized there at the gate.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, what do you want from people? Like, one person had a baby, and they're like, please, just let me in. I've got a baby. It's like, you know, they could be, like, ripping and clawing at things and fighting each other. And, you know, at one point, Madison goes up, and she, like, puts her hands on the gate, and she was able to, like, connect with Travis. Like, nobody was trying to bite her finger off. Like, it's like, yeah, it could be worse. These people could be much more savage. And, you know, I understand you're trying to—
you know, Chris and his friends, they're savages.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's tough, Rob. Establishing immigration reform or policy anywhere is going to be tough, but you got to have some kind of system in place, because this is the first time, but it's not going to be the last.
It's not going to be the last time. And Travis comes up, I guess, because he saw the light. And again, this is like your local neighborhood where everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows your name down here in Mexico.
And it's like the zombie field of dreams, Rob. If you light it, they will come.
They will all come. And so you end up with Travis. And then Madison's like, hey, that's my husband. Let him in. No, he's cool. He's on the list. Let him in. Everybody, move out of the way. Move out of the way. My husband's got to get in here. I mean, don't you think that it would have been smart for her to say, okay, like, hey, go around the back way. Like, man, let's not open the gate in front of, you know, these, 50 lunatics that are trying to, you know, fight for their lives to break in here.
Yeah, Travis, ixnay in front of the effugies, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they let them in. Now, Alex, did you feel like that it hurt and undercut the tension in the episode that you knew that Travis was going to make it back to Madison?
No, because I think the thing that loomed for me is like, where's Chris? Right. Is he going to have to kill Chris? And ultimately, you know, it was not as tense as I had hoped. I think that's part of the problem, is that it built to very little. But the knowledge that it's still out there, it could still come to a head. Surely it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Chris hasn't vanished. We know these guys didn't make it far.
Yeah. Well, maybe Chris is going to meet up with all the people that work in the grocery store, with Antonio and the grocery store people. He'll be like in with them.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd be a good clerk, though. He seems like he doesn't follow direction very well.
No.
That doesn't seem like a working relationship. He'd find himself in the interrogation room pretty quickly there.
So we got to see a lot of Travis and Maddie's reunion. And really, basically, both of them are in the same spot where they both have lost their kid here. They both have a kid that's run away and they don't know what they did wrong.
Yeah. Tough situation to be a parent in a world where you can't just hit them up on the cell phone and be like, when are you coming home?
Hey, you can't be a helicopter parent, Alex.
No, there's no helicopters. They ran out of fuel a long time ago.
We have a helicopter, and it's called the Abigail.
Everything is the Abigail.
Everything is the Abigail.
I don't know if you guys have settled on a name for this hotel yet, but
I say we call it the Abigail.
I was leaning. I don't know if you've tried my new house cocktail, the Abigail.
I call it the Abigail. Travis, his last words to Chris were, God damn you. And you know what my last words to Chris were also?
The same?
Same last word. Different word in the front.
Yeah, he's pretty damnable, that Chris.
Yes, yes.
Awfully damnable guy.
Travis forgot to say that he loved him. And Maddie is sort of like, oh my God, I need to go talk to Alicia. I need to go talk to, you know, the prodigal. Son is gone. I need to talk to my daughter that's still here. And yeah. She
the one that
through.
Hasn't slipped away yet. Let's make sure that doesn't leave the roost.
Yeah. And she goes through and talks to Alicia. And, you know, this is her way of letting her know of somebody, I think in the Reddit comments also posted like, yeah, Madison, nice way to tell Alicia that you love Nick more.
At least she got that line in there late where it's like, I never thought, like, Nick always needed help. He's such a mess. Like, at least, like, I just figured you weren't a total mess. It's like, yeah, well, I appreciate where you're trying to come from, Mom, and that's about the best we can do at this point.
Well, we did get a bit of a reveal, and this was set up in the back half of the season 2B opener, where we had that Nick had a bad relationship with his dad, and then his dad always wanted to go to sleep, and then he got into some sort of a car accident, and Madison had to go and tell Nick. We find out that there was more to this story. It was a suicide. Is that a harbinger of something that is to come here? Do you think that potentially Nick or Chris potentially could be taking their own lives?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, certainly, you know, that's the theme that was raised, is that, you know, there's so much of his father in Nick. And, you know, to be honest, I was a little worried when Madison leaves Travis up there in the balcony. I'm like, you know, obviously you don't think Travis is going to kill himself because Chris is still out there, but you can tell that Travis feels like he's failed his son. He's failed his wife. And I'm like, I don't know that I want to leave the guy alone in a balcony where he could just throw himself off. Like, maybe keep a friend there close by for him at this point.
Yeah. Well, didn't they only clear out the first floor? How high up were they?
Oh, they were high up. I mean, he was definitely looking down at the beach. And yeah, that shot when it came back from commercial where it zooms in on the balcony, they were up there. Yeah. So I think they've cleared all the floors at this point. I think that big funnel job was the full clear out.
Do you think that Maddie filled in Travis on everything that was going on there about how they took over the hotel and how they've been like doing this whole big renovation and kicking people out, and then Sue Ellen Mischke stabbed Strand?
I assume that they yada yada through that whole thing because, Travis clearly had told Madison his story and said, you know, that line about, you know, it's funny, if I hadn't seen you, I would never, no one would ever have to know that this thing had happened to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I assume that both that they had shared kind of what had happened since they separated. But it is an interesting point about this world. It's like, you know, characters come in and they may have interacted with other people. But yeah, I mean, you can leave your past behind in a sense with each new group you come across.
Yeah, he doesn't seem that impressed that Madison has like taken over a hotel.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be a little more impressed.
Look at you. You're like the night manager of like this Hotel Abigail. Like that's really good. That's really impressive, like, Madison.
Like growing crops here. We got power. What are you doing, Travis? You just walking around on bloody feet all the time, feeling bad for yourself.
Yeah, she's become like the Deanna that sucks of this hotel, where she's the Deanna that sucks that like all the people that are in this colony like all feel like that she has completely blown it.
Yeah, right. But at least she's allocated appropriate location for sorghum.
We've got the sorghum. We've got the Abigail. Everything.
The soil down here is not very good, but hopefully we can make something out of nothing.
It's very arid. Yeah, so that's
life gives us lemons, but we'll try to make the lemonade.
So then what did they end up doing with the refugees? They let them all live in the parking garage?
I think that was like, see, to me, that was like New Ellis Island. Like, that's the place where they're keeping people until they feel good about them and let them like pass the trucks into the community. That was like the checkpoint.
The checkpoint.
Yeah, the little in between, like in The Leftovers. That's the place before the bridge.
Okay. Yeah, so they're waiting to get into the hotel, and they make them hang out in the parking garage. Now, are they concerned at all? I mean, that the hotel people, they don't have any weapons or anything like that. How are they holding these people at bay?
Well, I gotta just assume that the 43 they let in were not armed, that they kind of lucked out with this initial crop of people who just came desperate and hungry and in need and without machetes or AKs or any of these things, and that maybe the next crop of people, you know, sooner or later, someone's going to stumble by this thing and see what's going on and realize that it's pretty cozy.
Yeah, luckily only nice people came when they turned the light on.
Yeah, they really lucked out there.
So far, so good.
Really, really, yeah. She dropped the ball. She's fortunate nobody really tried to pick it up and run with it.
So that was a positive for Madison and for Travis. And so now, okay, they're together. Chris is lost. Nick is lost. Ophelia is lost. And Nick is still in the outside world dealing with the looming attack that's going to be coming onto Colonia.
Yeah, looking looking pretty dire for the colony right now. And not a place you want to be. They're clearly outgunned. I mean, we've seen that they have a few guys in a few turrets with a few guns, but nothing compared to what we've seen these guys roving around Mexico in jeeps with.
I mean, wasn't that bizarre how that ended up happening? Where, I mean, Chris did seem to know that San Diego was not a destination that they should be going to.
Yeah, Chris is just—he wants to fit in so bad. You could tell. Like he latched on to this one piece of advice his dad gave him early in middle school, and he hasn't adapted to life since. It's like, all right, man, sometimes you need to, like, you know, let new experiences shape your past beliefs. And Chris doesn't seem to want to do that. He thinks he has all the answers, and he's 15. He does not.
Yeah, what was going on with Chris in middle school?
So apparently the football team used to come and make fun of – they didn't even beat him up, Rob. Yeah. It's such a millennial
bullying.
Problem.
It's bullying. To, see what happened?
They used to say mean things. Yeah, well, I get it. It's not cool. But yeah, you know, so he used to hide. He used to spend a lot of his time in middle school hiding. And his dad said to, you know, try to fit in, which is it's advice. It's probably not, you know, it's about all you can try to do in that kind of a context, I guess. But he's clearly taking it a little too far to heart, because trying to fit in so the football kids won't pick on you and shooting a guy in the head, there seems to be a bit of a gap.
What about in terms of this 2-hour finale that's coming up? Again, I do think it's bizarre that I don't even think we had a 2-hour finale last season, that we end up having a 2-hour finale here. I mean, do you think that this is just one continuous story that ends up happening in the 2-part episode next week?
Looking at the Wikipedia and stuff, it looks like it's two separate episodes, 2-hour episodes.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's just kind of more of a sense of like, all right, we've got more of this arc to get through now. Because I really, when you look at it, it's like there needs to be some big conflict that they really haven't set up yet too much. Like, obviously, the seeds are there for like Colonia versus the cartel people, but you got to think that by the end of the season, it's all going to weave in together somehow. So how's the hotel and everybody who's there work in? How does Chris figure back in? I got to think that all these storylines are going to somehow intertwine. Madison was talking about knowing where Nick is. Travis is talking about knowing where Chris is. If everyone doesn't come back together, at least like make eye contact with each other sometime in these 2 hours, I'd be very surprised.
Do you think everybody is back together by the end of the 2-hour finale next week?
If they're alive.
If they're alive.
Which, you know, knowing this show, they definitely will be. But, you know, the hope is that 2 hours in a season finale might put us back on kind of what keeps us on the edge of our seats about The Walking Dead, which is the fact that really, I mean, it is a show that does a really good job of creating the idea that, you know, by and large, with some exceptions, that no one is untouchable, really, that there are certain characters that could be taken off the table at any time. And you need to, like, prepare yourself for that. So I'd like to see more of that.
We could have, like, some sort of, like, Negan-esque cliffhanger for Fear the Walking Dead? Season one did not really end on a cliffhanger. It ended on sort of, like, we should get on this boat. It's called the Abigail.
Yeah, that's true. Although they only had 6 episodes, so maybe they felt like they couldn't set up that thing. But, you know, I do feel like this is going to, you know, the Walking Dead pattern for me for a full season is, you know, kind of going somewhere, closing it out, and then just kind of like beginning to paint a picture of where we might go next. Mm-hmm. So I think we could get that far.
Okay. Will any of these characters die in the finale next week?
I have to think so, right? Otherwise, what are we doing here?
I think that we're going to kill off a large sum of the super minor characters. Like, I think Brandon Douche is going to die. I think that, like, Sue Ellen Mischke is going to die. I think that the people who run the grocery store are going to die. So I feel like that any sort of antagonist that we've sort of been running into, they're all going to die.
Yeah, probably Alejandro, probably Hector and his aunts.
I'm predicting a very good night for the good guys one week from tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good time to be a main, not a good time to be a secondary. I think that's probably pretty safe. We spent a lot of time establishing very few people. So to take any one of them off the table now seems tough. I mean, maybe one or two, but yeah.
Okay. In terms of reunions that you feel like Chris, are they reunited with Chris by the end of the 2-hour finale?
I do. I feel like Chris is the most vulnerable of the main cast because Chris's arc to me is more, at least, especially now, is really more about its effect on Travis than it is about Chris. Because now Chris is really seen as, you know, he looked like a lost cause and then Travis wasn't ready to give up on him. Now that Travis has given up on him, I mean, you know, where's the rooting? Like, when is this, how is this kid ever going to be redeemable?
Do you think that Nick's lady friend is back in the fold and now a traveling companion?
Well, it's going to be tough because Luciana seems very loyal to Alejandro and the colony. So if the colony's under attack, I could I have a hard time seeing her not wanting to stay and fight. Whereas Nick is kind of the, the getting's good type. He likes to stay afloat. So it's that might be a bit of an idealistic difference. It looks like on the next time on that, she has a bit of a, dig at Nick where it's like, why don't you run? That's what you're good at. And yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Alex, anything else from the week in Fear the Walking Dead?
Excited for the season finale, see where this all is ramping up to. And it looks like, it's going to come to a head. These next 2 hours should be much more action-packed. There's no way they can't be. And then, it's a major Walking Dead cliffhanger after that we've been waiting for so long. So, yeah, it feels like we've been waiting forever. I'm excited to make it to that and see where we go from there.
Yeah, so we have one more week until the finale of this, and then I think it's 2 weeks off until we get to the premiere of The Walking Dead Season 7. All right, Alex, what's the hashtag? Do we have anything? The one thing I had written down was the Felton Zone.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, what is that a reference to, Felton Zone?
So Tom Felton is the kid who played Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter franchise.
Got it.
And that's the thing. Like, you don't want to get typecast as, like, douchey kid.
Then you
grow up and it's like, what do I do now? Yeah, it's that right. Joffrey zone.
Right. I think that everybody says that Joffrey is like a really nice kid in real life.
Yes, that's all I've heard is that Jack Gleason, this like lovely Irish actor with a very nice accent,
although,
such a charming young man.
I kind of feel like that's the kind of thing you say if you really is a lot like Joffrey. I think that you still have to say that.
Possible. Or maybe it's just the thing that, like, you go in with such exceedingly low expectations because you imagine him to be Joffrey that all he has to do is just be an average guy. And mm-hmm. He'll blow you away.
Again, just to go back to Lorenzo James Henry, who plays Chris, he was on Fear the Talking Dead talking about, he's like, when I read these scripts, I'm thinking the same thing that you guys are. And so he's not necessarily really feeling like trying to say that, Chris is justified in doing any of these things.
Yeah, guys, I hate me too.
Yes.
I promise, I do.
Yes. So, Ollie or Chris, who's worse?
Oh, man. Chris, we spend too much time with him. At least with Ollie, it's like we moved on, and he got his.
For the douche bros. So, and then what about, so he's not worse than Joffrey yet, right?
No, can't be. Joffrey's just, way too much ordered execution. Now, if Chris, like, finds his place within the cartel and begins to, like, rise, it becomes, like, the number one guy's, like, pet kid or something like that, and then he's, like, making him shoot people for fun and telling him to kill his family and stuff, now we're in business.
And then the other thing they kept saying on Fear of the Talking Dead was that he's, like, the new Shane. Are you buying or selling Chris is the new Shane?
Oh, Shane was so badass. No, I'm not buying that at all. Because if a real Shane came along, all three of these guys, Chris and his two new buddies, would just go immediately like, no, man, please, we don't want any trouble. Like, that's the difference with these guys, is they're not real bad guys. It's just like circumstances of dealing with old people and weak people have made them think they are.
That's going to do it for us here today. We'll be back next week with finale coverage of Fear the Walking Dead. Of course, Alex is on Twitter. He is at Alex Kidwell. I'm at Rob Sestrino, and we're looking forward once again to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on postshowrecaps.com. Alex, anything else?
No, I think we covered it.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.